It's time for Dreams to be Made. It's Walk-On Week 2013 on Richmond's Sports Station, Sports Radio 910. The proceeds from this year's Walk-On Week will go to the Richmond chapter of the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. You can get in on the action by calling the show at 345-0910. Will the next hour be great? Have we found the next big thing in sports talk radio? Let's find out now with Walk-On Week 2013 on Richmond's Sports Station, Sports Radio 910. Here's the captain with the sports brew.
Oh, that's right. We're going to break out some big bada boom shakalakas. I am the captain, and we are stepping out of the basement here with the Sports Brew. For all of our friends that like to follow with the podcast and a little bit of the shenanigans on our Facebook wall, guess what? We are rocking the AM airwaves of Sports Radio 910, baby. Or as Mark, that's right, D-Stat Thomas would say, we are large and in charge.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Stepping out of the basement, we are here at Sports Radio 910. I do want to give a big thanks to Jonathan working the boards for us. And, of course, we are ready to have some fun, ready to have a little bit of antics, and ready to throw the gauntlet down with the Sports Brew, baby.
Always good to be here.
Oh, man, dude, I am so stoked. This is going to be a lot of fun. Now, for people that aren't familiar with us, I go by the captain. When we talk about the podcast, that is the Sports Brew, and all of us that join in and have a little fun with that have a couple of random nicknames. Mark, I like to refer to him as the degenerate statistician. Why? Because he bets on the WNBA. No, I'm just kidding about that. He'll take exception to that. just a joke. But he is a degenerate. You can look at his haircut. If you ever find us on Facebook, that's going to be facebook.com/sportsbrew. You can take a look at his wild, woolly, man mammoth mohawk. It really is a hoot. But we have a lot of fun things to get to sports-wise. We've got NFL stuff. I know the itch is already on me. I'm telling you, we get past the July 4th holiday, which I hope everybody had an absolutely fantastic time with your friends, with your family, preferably with some cold, refreshing beverages.
Of course.
Because we do like to have a little nightcap with the Sports Brew.
A few.
My friends. That's the way that we roll. But hopefully you did so responsibly. If you're in Richmond, maybe you hung out with the Flyins. The Richmond Flying Squirrels enjoyed those fireworks. What, is someone going to go get some Chinese afterwards? Right? That should be the name of a restaurant. What do you think? Firewalks?
I'd go there.
Would you?
Why not?
I like it too, man. Or if you were at the Carolina Dogwood Dell. But, you know, now that we're past that, I'm ready for some NFL fireworks.
We got about 60 days till opening day.
Dude, I'm losing count. But what I do know is there are so many storylines that I'm very, very, very excited about. Before we get to that, I do want to give a little Sports Brew dap to Andy Murray.
Yeah.
I think he deserves a little love.
You love your tennis.
That's right. We like to call our tennis guy in the Sports Brew is Teddy Tennyson, which means he doesn't exist. Why? Because we rarely ever talk about tennis.
Now, I actually enjoy some tennis, but certainly the captain is not quite the same. But definitely want to give some dap to Andy Murray.
No, I didn't say I didn't enjoy tennis. We just don't usually talk about tennis.
Sure.
That's different.
But, I mean, the first, you know, British man winning or British person winning the Wimbledon in 77 years, that's wild.
That's a long time. How old was Queen Elizabeth?
10.
When you look at the news, she is very far removed from 10.
I'd say so.
1936.
You see a lot of videos online
old school
today. Yes. A lot of videos of British people very, very excited.
They should be.
They should be, of course.
They should be. Look, a gold medal and now Wimbledon.
Good time for
And me. If you're going to win something in tennis, if you're British, you want Wimbledon, right?
Of course.
I would think so. So a little bit of Sports Brew dap out there for Andy Murray.
Some hope for the Cubs now, maybe?
Yeah, maybe there is a little bit of hope for the Cubs. Man, you're only, what, about 105, 106 years? How long is that going on?
He would appreciate that.
Painful. He would appreciate that. That's right. But we've got Dwight Howard going to the Rockets, so we have a little fun with that. And depending on what kind of flavor you like, we're glad to mix it up. If you want to talk about the Celtics, Dwight Howard, maybe Shaq throwing Dwight Howard under the bus. And, of course, like I said earlier, a little bit of NFL action. So a couple of the things that interest us when we talk about the upcoming NFL season is the growth of several players. Colin Kaepernick's going to be one of them. And I would argue, I would assert, I would tell you, I would posit that this whole incident over the hat, while you might say it's kind of ridiculous, is an issue when you're talking about the maturity of a player.
Absolutely.
And his response to the fan base. I was actually disappointed, not so much about him wearing the hat, but about him taking the fan base to task and almost, you know, kind of like, what is a hat? Get out of my face with it. Come on, man. You're going in the year too, buddy.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, it's one of those that I think, you know, me, laugh at me, the happy mediums, always.
You are a happy medium guy.
I think that some people are going far too far with it. It's not that severe. But at the same time, it is a faux pas. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. I think you wouldn't see many veterans doing that. I think you mentioned you feel like he seems like he's maybe getting a little bit of a big head.
I do believe Kaepernick's getting a big head. Look, he's on one of the best teams, top bottom in the entire league. You can't take that away from the San Francisco 49ers. And he played beautifully in spots last year. He absolutely slaughtered Green Bay, although that is in part indicative of Green Bay's defense at that back end of the year. But when I look at, say, the Super Bowl, one of the things that stands out to me about Kaepernick in the Super Bowl is all the missed opportunities, all the plays that were left on the field. So to me, he's a young man going into his third year, if I remember correctly, that needs to work on progressing both as a quarterback but as a leader of that team. Now, if you ask me fundamentally, does it really offend my sensibilities if he wears a Dolphins hat? No. But I then think about, look, I'm a Redskins fan. I try not to be a really big homer about it, but I'm a Redskins fan. Mark over here, old D-Stat, is a Giants fan. So in my head, I'm like, Mark, what if Eli was wearing a San Diego Chargers hat? Or for me, what if RG3 was wearing some Dallas Cowboys gear? Would I be happy about that? No, I'm not going to totally throw him under the bus. But when you talk about leadership, you talk about maturity. I think the young quarterbacks, Kaepernick's one of them. Cam Newton is a guy that needs to work on that. You know, old Mr. Mopey Pants, I think is what they called him last year in Carolina. That's tragic, by the way.
Yes, it is.
If you're known by your coach as Mr. Mopey Pants, that's a bad sign.
I'd say so.
Not so good.
No.
Not so good. But there's opportunity there. There's an opportunity space. So I guess one of the questions we would ask of you, from your friends here at the Sports Brew, what would you do if your favorite team, your favorite player, the leader on your team, was wearing gear of an opposing NFL team? Now, I could care less about, in this case, NFL. I'm not so much worried about other sports leagues. If he's wearing NBA gear, not an issue for me. MLB gear, not an issue. MLS, don't care. WNBA, which Mark bets on, I'm just kidding, not an issue. But in the same sports league, is it a fashion statement or is it a faux pas? I want to know what you guys think.
To me, it does seem so much like a fashion statement. It just doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. It's not a necessity. And yeah, if I saw a Giants, you know, doing that, I would be pretty disappointed. I wouldn't understand it. If you're retired, if you've got a kid or family member that plays for a team or something, but if it's just a fashion statement, I don't get it.
Look,
that's silly. Wear a plain hat.
Enough sports teams, enough sports hats, and enough foreign countries. You can find colors that match your outfit somewhere else other than another NFL team. Again, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, but when you talk about the maturity standpoint, if he is supposed to be a leader on the team, in the locker room, to me, I want to see him represent the 49ers, in this case, the 49ers at all times.
Certainly.
And it's funny because Harbaugh, his head coach, there was a point that Harbaugh refused to do an interview because one of the reporters was wearing a sweatshirt or a shirt of a different team. He wouldn't do it. Now, you know, I think Harbaugh's a little bit of a hothead.
He is.
But he is a fiery competitor.
Oh, yeah.
Fiery competitor. How do you think that sits with Harbaugh?
Probably not very
Come
well.
On. You think they're going to Instagram an apology there? Maybe that's what Kaepernick should do. He should go ahead and put his 49ers gear back on. Maybe they should custom make Kaepernick 49ers gear in different colors. Look, if you need a fashion choice, let's go ahead and get New Era, Nike, Reebok, whoever.
Go head to toe, put a blanket
on,
a hoodie, you know, big.
That's right.
Just cover up in
that's
49ers
right.
gear.
Maybe so that's one of the NFL items. Now, that's not really so much about on the field unless we want to talk about the progression of a quarterback as the leader of a franchise, the face of a franchise. So we're going to tear into some other topics, but keep in mind, we are at Richmond Sports Station. That's right, Sports Radio 910. And if you want to dial a dude, you want to dial in and have a little fun with the Sports Brew tonight, that is going to be 345-0910, baby. So feel free to dial those digits and get in and throw down with the brew. Now, some other NFL things that are kind of floating out there, I got to tell you. I'm interested in Tavon Austin from West Virginia with St. Louis. I'll tell you a couple reasons why. Yes, they needed to replace Amendola. Solid pickup by New England, by the way. I'm not expecting him to be Wes Welker light, but he needs to stay healthy.
They got a lot of holes.
They do have a lot of holes, but Jeff Fisher, I have a lot of respect for Jeff Fisher. He is a hard-nosed coach, blue-collar coach, and you could see the fight in that team. He is a coach that extracts maximum effort. from his players consistently. Maybe not perfectly, but you see that. There's something about how he coaches, how he builds, and how he gets his players to run. Now, the reason I like Tavon Austin, if you think about it in that division, in the NFC West, to me, top down, looks at least on paper in this NFL offseason as the best division in football. I think you can make a very credible argument for that. Now, St. Louis gave it to the 49ers. They gave them some serious games last season. But the reason I like Tavon Austin, you think about the size of the DBs in Seattle, in San Francisco. You have opportunity if you can create space and you get a ball in a playmaker's hands. Now, we don't know how good Austin's going to be. Maybe he butterballs it. Maybe he drops a whole bunch. Maybe. But I love the matchup possibilities with Austin in that division with St. Louis. But it's definitely going to be tough.
Who's going to be running the ball for St. Louis? Do you know?
Oh, I guess we're going to have to see how that shakes out in camp.
I'm not sure.
Unfortunately, I don't have all my normal accoutrement of buttons and windows and random sound bites that I can go to town with and look up all this stuff. Cross-reference, you know.
Putting you on the spot, yeah.
But yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. I'll throw you under the bus later for that. No, that's I'm just kidding. But other NFL things that are interesting, Bruce Arians, Arizona. Now, people are going to say, well, that's Carson Palmer. He's a bum. I like Bruce Arians in Arizona. People have forgotten how good Larry Fitzgerald is. Now, they have some offensive line issues, yes. But Bruce Arians deserves a lot of credit for what Indianapolis did last year. Now, I love Andrew Luck. And I would say this to you. Andrew Luck, I'd be curious. Not of regression so much as performance, but I don't know if he's going to air it out as much next season. So I'm curious. I want to follow Andrew Luck's progression without Bruce Arians. And I want to see how Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald do in Arizona. I love the matchup of that kind of a veteran quarterback with a head coach that is willing to put the ball in his hands, to let him go after it. I don't know if they can keep him clean. And Lord knows, Carson Palmer might as well have cement boots on. He's not but so fast.
No.
And there's some brutal defenses in that division. I love the matchup, though. I'm very intrigued by that.
I think you've heard me rave about Fitzgerald before. He's my favorite non-giant wide receiver in the league.
Right.
He can catch balls that nobody else in the league can get to. Off the field, I've heard many great stories about him. I think he's just a really good guy to begin with. But on the field, the way he can leap and get balls and just get to things that are mind-blowing.
You know, there's certain receivers in the league that if you get the ball close to them, they fight for the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you had a guy, there was a period of time in New York that Plaxico Burress was that kind of guy. You could put it up, he'd go after it. My favorite example of this for me personally, is Anquan Boldin. I love that guy.
So tough.
He is the quintessential wide receiver that is going to out-physical you and outwork you to get to that ball.
Busted his jaw and was back in about 3 weeks.
I mean,
that's unreal.
That dude is so hardcore. Maybe he needs to go to, you know, the MMA. I bet Silva would go down if Anquan was in there, right?
he could
probably take care of that guy. But I love Q. But Fitzgerald is a guy that, no, maybe he's not the fastest guy in the world, but he knows how to use his body. He knows how to work the route and work this, you know what I mean, work that on the field. Mm-hmm. So I love that. I really want to see how that plays out. Another big storyline, Chip Kelly, Philadelphia. I don't know if they're going to be good, but I do know they're going to be interesting.
It's going to be fun.
Let's hope. And Philadelphia Eagle fans can only hope, right? You know, what you hear a lot of is this comparison with Steve Spurrier. I don't know that that's a fair comparison. Now, I will honestly tell you, back in the day, I was actually excited about Steve Spurrier.
Did that last long?
No. Doesn't that sound pitiful in today's, looking back on what he accomplished in D.C. to be like, man, that was a great hire, Steve Spurrier. Woo! Yeah, no. It's probably a better golfer than anything else in D.C. But we're going to get to that on the flip side. I want to finish that thought. I'll tell you what, before we snap into a Slim Jim on this break here, give me a D-stat woo, baby.
Woo!
That's what I'm talking about. We'll be back on the flip side of this break, friends. Sports Brew O'Clock, baby.
iHeartRadio presents the Soundgarden Top 10.
Number 10.
Been away too long.
Number 9.
By Crooked Steps.
Number 8.
Live to Rise.
Number 7.
The Day I Tried to Live.
Number
Number 6, Rusty Cage. Number 5, Outshined. Number 4, Burden in My Hand. Number 3, Fell on Black Days. Number 2, Spoon Man. Number 1, Black Hole Sun. Hear more of Soundgarden right now on iHeartRadio at keyword Soundgarden.
Let's get back to Walk On Week 2013 on Richmond Sports Station, Sports Radio 910. Here's the captain with the sports brew.
Oh, that's the return of the big bada boom shakalaka as we all snap into a Slim Jim up in this piece. But that's right, Richmond Sports Radio Station, Richmond Sports Station, Sports Radio 910. Let me get that all correctified. But a captain almost had a, if I had my fail horn button by me, I'd fail horn myself for that one. But anyway, just remember, if you want to throw in with a little bit of the jibba jabba here with D-Stead or the captain, that is right. That is going to be 3450910. But until then, let me go ahead and get back to these little thoughts about Chip Kelly and the Eagles. Steve Spurrier. I think it's a poor analogy, but I understand why people do it. What you have is a guy coming out of college that a lot of people will say, look, he had a lot of success in college. College is not the NFL. You experimented. You were progressive. You were exciting. The thing that's interesting to me, if we talk about the Eagles, I would almost wonder if they have success early. I would almost be a buyer of them in the first month. I think there's a lot of talent in Philadelphia. Whether or not he can maximize that, I'm not sure. But at least early on, you would expect to have buy-in from the players, buy-in in the offseason program, buy-in with the conditioning, with his offensive system. He feels like he has a much higher level of credibility, even though he's coming from college than, say, somebody like Spurrier did. I think Spurrier was entertaining, and he had fantastic press conferences and probably a really good gang of golf buddies up in D.C. But that did not translate to on-field success. Now, early on, I'd be curious if Philadelphia had some success. The thing that's really going to, I guess, kind of cut the mustard, if you will, with Chip Kelly in Philadelphia, because I think they have talent. I want to see what he does when teams adjust specifically for what their tendencies are. And look, you can talk about, well, you know, his play calling may not have these tendencies. Look, players have tendencies. Players have things they like to do. And your job as a coach is to maximize what they do well. And your job as a defense is to maximize what they don't do well. So you can play call all you want, but if the defense counters it effectively, you have to find a different way. So I really want to see how they, and I hope they don't beat the Redskins game one. Don't get me wrong.
Of course.
I would be rather disappointed.
I wouldn't.
But. Well, I know you wouldn't. You're a Giants fan. But I want to see in week five, week six, how the team is progressing. I think that's going to be a fascinating storyline. And look, I said earlier I'm a Redskins fan, but I love the NFL. And probably one of the reasons I love the NFL so much is because I had a lot of years where being a Redskins fan was very painful. Very painful.
You blocked it out well.
Yeah, I needed sports. I needed like NFL morphine, you know what I mean, to deal with that stuff. And that for me was fantasy football and learning to appreciate the game as a whole in the league. And that's what I really enjoy. So I love the NFL. It is my favorite sport by far. Looks like you want to chime in there, D-Stat.
It's an intriguing setup for Kelly because with Oregon, I mean, they were running up 60, 70-plus points on teams. They obviously had a lot of great weapons, both quarterback, running back, wide receiver. And with the Eagles, he's got McCoy. He's got Vic, which, you know, Vic has question marks. Of course, you can't say it. I mean, it's the NFL. They're not going to put up that many points, but he's going to try. He's going to try.
Yeah, maybe in the preseason. I mean, he might go all Osaka on a bunch of people.
I think he's going to have fun. It's going to be interesting. Jackson. I feel like DeSean Jackson, you would think, should have a very solid.
If he can stop being a punk.
Of course, which is a question mark.
Well, that's another guy when you talk about maturity, right? You talk about maturity. And I really, you know, there's a lot of issues in the league right now. Obviously, somebody like Aaron Hernandez, and that's on the far end of the spectrum. But you're going to see a little bit of this lashback for player attitude, what they do. You can't always really control for criminal activity. Let's be realistic here. And it's not like they can get Ed 209 or Ed 409 or RoboCop or I think it was Ed 209, right?
So.
I think 409 is a cleaner. Ed 409, the robotic cleaner you get out there spraying on the stuff. But you can't control for everything they do. But I want to know if there's a little bit of a pushback with like this attitude and the behaviors. And I think the media there's going to be a lot of extra scrutiny. A lot of extra scrutiny. So the maturity thing, I think, applies for someone like DeSean Jackson as well, who he's brilliantly gifted from a physical tool set talent standpoint. I mean, he is. I'm not saying he's the most functional, flexible, dynamic wide receiver, but he has a skill set that if you take advantage of it, he's a game breaker.
Right. And he's very good at going long. You can throw long to him.
Yeah.
He's quick. He's got decent hands, but he's just...
You do need more than that.
Yeah, he's too tiny. You throw him and go across the middle, he's going to get blown up. He gets hurt. you wonder if Chip Kelly's going to be a strict coach, if he's going to be able to discipline well.
I want to know if LeSean McCoy is going to carry that ball a little tighter to him. Every time I see that guy running down the field, I'm always like waiting for him to fumble. He must have some of the strongest forearms known to man to not fumble.
Right.
He's definitely on that, Tony Gonzalez has got that all-natural protein stuff, that supplement. He's selling he's probably getting some of that Tony G stuff, man.
I need David Wilson to pop up and work on this.
David Wilson to work on his pass protection, friend.
Well, that and his fumbles. But
oh, my gosh. And speaking of things that are curious, if you're talking about NFL offseason stuff that's intriguing, what the heck are the Giants going to do about their running game, dude? Do you think they're really going to entrust David Wilson?
Well, it sounds like it's going to be the David Wilson show. Andre Brown's going to be the second guy. And
do you think one of your favorite guys comes back? You think Brandon Jacobs makes an appearance?
I've said it several times. I'm a crazy Giants fan who would support that. It's not going to happen.
No.
He's too much of an idiot.
Brandon Jacobs an idiot? No. You're making that up.
Hey. Tossing the helmet in the stands and all that garbage. I love the guy on the field. I probably have more faith in them than most guys do.
You
but
do.
I do.
You
I
do.
Because I know he's probably – well, of course he's past his prime. I still think he's got enough left in the tank that he could produce. And I like the idea of Thunder and Lightning again. But I have faith in Wilson Brown. Jacobs, that's just not going to happen. I know that.
I think Wilson is I like the speed that he has.
I think
everybody looks at him and goes, man, he's so fast. You get the ball in his hand, gets in space. But when you have a guy like that, if you fumble and if you can't pass protect, you have a fundamental issue. They need somebody else. Maybe that's going to be Andre Brown that picks up the slack in certain situations. But I would like to see the progression of David Wilson this year. That's another guy, right?
Yeah, because Coughlin doesn't really seem to stand for fumbles.
How many NFL coaches are like, oh, you fumbled? Well, yay, I'm happy for you. Thanks, guys.
Coughlin, that very first game when he fumbled, he was yanked immediately.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, Coughlin especially has a very short rope.
Well, he also turns bright red in the wintertime when he's outside. I think he should star in a remake of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I totally think Coughlin should be.
The Red-Faced Reindeer?
Yeah, Coughlin the Red-Faced Reindeer. I think he could do it. He could pull it off.
It works.
How much lip balm does that guy have to go through?
Oh, God. He should have a sponsorship.
They have chapstick. That dude needs like chap face. You know what I'm saying? He just needs like a whole facial lip balm. It's like amazing to me. I shouldn't say that. But Shanahan gets all red faced too.
Sure. Yeah. Not as bad as Coughlin.
No, not quite as bad. Okay, so we talked about the Eagles. Andy Reid in Kansas City, I guess to jump off of the Eagles, Andy Reid to me was burned out at the end. And a lot of people gave Andy Reid a lot of hate. Some of that deserved for how some things really went towards the end of his tenure. You can look at certain organizational failures. He has a hand in that. He has a role in that. Is he an above-average coach on the whole? Yes. I think he absolutely needed a reboot. You think about all the stuff he went through with his family, the struggles they had with that team. And quite frankly, I think in a lot of sports you see, whether it's a player, whether it's a coach, sometimes you need a change of scenery. And I think Andy Reid really needed a change of scenery. Plus, they have good food in Kansas City, which doesn't hurt.
Mean.
I said good food. I didn't call him fat. But, let's be fair. I like to eat. You like to eat.
Of course.
I'm pretty sure Andy Reid likes to eat.
Yeah.
So it's a great place to go. Good barbecue, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So I really want to see how they do. But can Jamal Charles stay healthy?
I hope so.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. And, Alex Smith? Yeah, buddy. Living large. Large and in charge. Alex Smith. Give me a D-stat woo for Alex Smith.
Woo!
Yeah, that was half-hearted. Kind of like most of it. No, I'm just kidding. It's okay. So they're interesting to me. How about Detroit? The Lions? I got to tell you, if there's one team that I think really I anticipated taking the next step last year and they did not do it, it was Detroit. You look at a team that has that kind of talent in spots on the roster. Calvin Johnson, beast. Matthew Stafford, at this point in his career, look, he's got a strong arm. You need to be a strong leader. But they have, to me, they have a dysfunctional team. Obviously, you couldn't really foresee the idiocy of Titus Young.
No.
That guy was a moron.
The running game is spotty.
Running game. I don't know that they're committed enough to the run. Maybe some of that is a talent. Maybe some of that is offensive line. But I can't walk away from this past NFL season looking at what Detroit accomplished and not say they left so much on the table. They underperformed. They're not disciplined enough. Now, I mentioned Jeff Fisher earlier tonight. I would have loved to have seen Jeff Fisher in Detroit.
Ooh.
With Ndamukong. That's a guy. Now, I was joking around with somebody, and I said, God, Ndamukong Suh, you know, that guy could be such a stud if he could get his head right. But I'm curious, if they fold this year, and he stomps on somebody in the head or, you know, stomps on somebody in the crotch or kicks somebody wherever, at what point is he going to essentially almost be a bust? I half-heartedly was joking with somebody. I said, he could be the next Albert Haynesworth. I mean, that's a bad
you don't want
analogy.
That
no, you don't. And people forget how good Albert Haynesworth actually was.
True.
Now, I'm not saying he was a nice guy.
Right.
That's a whole different issue. And he was a jerk, and he did dirty things. But when he was motivated and he actually cared about playing the game, he was a stud. Also under Jeff Fisher, right?
Right.
Now, Ndamukong, who I do like, I don't dislike the player. I dislike things that he does because I think his passion for the game, and this would be the one thing that really separates out somebody like Haynesworth and Ndamukong. I think Ndamukong has legitimate passion for the game, but you have to focus that the right way.
Right.
You have to focus that the right way. So, again, we're going to fall back on this NFL offseason, this progression, things that you want to see going forward, storylines that you want to see advance, and teams and players that you have expectations for. I don't want to sound all rosy optimistic. Actually, personally, I'm not a buyer of Detroit. I'm not a buyer of Jim Schwartz. And I believe that by the time we get through next offseason, I think Schwartz is out of there.
Oh, I do too. I like Detroit. I like some of their pieces. I've always liked Stafford. Of course, how can you not like Johnson? I mean, his skill set is just through the moon. I mean, unbelievable stuff. So the defense, you know, they got Sue, they got some pieces, but yeah, it doesn't all come together. And it doesn't seem like Schwartz runs the team.
It's not enough of a cohesive team.
No, not at all.
Not enough of a cohesive team. And that's disappointing. To me, it's always fundamentally, you know, again, I'll have my fail horn, but Detroit lives in the land of fail horn. That's where they're at. They are that's underachieving. That is so underachieving. And you look at, you know, a coach's job, one of the things that you are charged with, whether you're the GM of an organization, whether you're the coach of an organization, is finding a way to maximize your scheme, maximize your talents, maximize your productivity. Look, it's an imperfect science. We get that. You got to go with your gut. Sometimes players get hurt. Sometimes you just get outplayed. But there is a big difference between a day where you just get your butt handed to you by a team that outworked you, out-hustled, out-coached, whatever, and consistently being a team that has this chronic underperformance.
Right.
And that's what they are to me. They don't know how to take the next step, and I'm not a buyer that Jim Schwartz is the guy to do it.
I feel like I'd view the Chargers in a similar light.
Well, now that North Turner's gone, and now that, you know, AJ, the Lord of No Rings is gone, and in about 5 or 10 seconds, we're going to be breaking into a Kit Kat, and we're going to be gone on a little break here. You know, it's problematic.
Right.
All right, everybody. I think it is time for a Kit Kat bar, so we'll be back on the flip side.
Be right back.
Yes, sir.
Do you suffer from pain like joint pain, muscle pain, back pain, or painful arthritis? Then you must listen to this important message. Nearly half of all Americans suffer from some kind of pain due to chronic inflammation. Anatoblock is a breakthrough supplement scientifically proven to quickly and effectively reduce inflammation and get rid of pain. Anatoblock is so effective in preventing excessive inflammation and reducing the pain, we guarantee you'll feel a significant difference in just a few days. Best of all, Anatoblock is now available to try risk-free. That's right. Call 800-549-0552 now and get out of pain absolutely risk-free. Anatoblock is now looking for real-life testimonials for anyone who has back pain, muscle pain, or painful arthritis. Call 800-549-0552 to get your risk-free supply and get out of pain today. Just call 800-549-0552 for details. Call today at 800-549-0552. That's 800-549-0552. Again, 800-549-0552.
iHeartRadio presents the Black Keys Top 10.
Number 10,
Your Touch.
Number 9,
10 Cent Pistol.
She hit them with a 10 Cent Pistol.
Number seven, I Got Mine. Number six, Everlasting Light. Number five, How and For You. Number four, Tighten Up. Little Black Submarines. Number two, Gold on the Ceiling. They wanna get my gold on the ceiling. I ain't mine, just a matter of time. Number one, Lonely Boy. Hear more of the Black Keys right now on iHeartRadio at keyword Black Keys.
Warriors, come out and play!
How you doing? It's comedian and all-around wonderful person Jay Moore. I'm sure you know who I am. You must. I'm very famous. If not, you will now. Following Dan Patrick, check out my show. It's Jay Moore Sports, and you'll get it right here.
Tomorrow at noon on Sports Radio 910. Let's get back to Walk-On Week 2013 on Richmond Sports Station, Sports Radio 910. Here's the captain with the sports brew.
Man, I really enjoyed that Kit Kat bar there, buddy.
Yeah, tasty.
That was good. That was good. So we snapped into a Slim Jim in the first break. We just cranked off a Kit Kat bar. I don't know what we've got up our sleeves for the third break that's coming up.
We'll find out.
But until then, I believe D-Stat, my main man, you wanted to go ahead and clean up some thoughts on the back end with the San Diego Chargers.
Well, I guess just to kind of continue, I just feel like the similar dichotomy to the Lions is that you've heard me say many times to you, Philip Rivers and I don't get along. Don't get along.
Not friends.
I don't understand. He's another guy that clearly I recognize he's got talent, but he just doesn't seem to have the killer instinct. He comes and goes certain weeks. I think maybe he's too busy, having.
Well, their offensive line is garbage.
That's part of it.
Vincent Jackson gone.
Yeah, I understand that. I was going to say I think he's too busy having kids with his wife. I think they've got like 8 kids.
Hey, come on! What do you hate on him for that for? You want him to have a reality show like that? What is it? The Duggars, the Dugars,
22,
whatever.
Yeah. I'm just saying maybe he's too busy at home taking care of the kids.
85 Rivers and counting.
He's tired and can't focus on the field. But there's that. Matthews is kind of hit or miss from week to week.
I don't like Matthews. I'm not a buyer of that guy.
I don't know if I could name I don't know if I can name a single guy on the defense. So I mean, the defense,
that's pitiful. Do you remember how good they were
at
the back end of Marty Schottenheimer? That's a guy that gets so little love. God. But I tell you what, I'm an absolute believer that if Schottenheimer had one more year with that team, you would have seen. I'm not saying they would have been a Super Bowl team, but they were so young, so good. LT in his prime. I mean, come on, man. That team played such hard-nosed football. Now, granted, maybe they were roided out. I mean, it's entirely possible. I can't remember the linebacker's name. He had the rookie card, or they had I want to say it was like a rookie card, and like they always talked about how they superimposed his head on somebody else's body. He finished his career in Buffalo. I can't think. He was the linebacker that was ridiculous. I can't think of his name, but it's okay. I really wanted to see Schottenheimer have another year. I actually thought they wronged him. And North Turner is one of those guys. I'm not going to say he's like Jim Schwartz guy, right? But he's one of those guys. We talk about progression. We talk about team. We talk about even when we talk about Kaepernick earlier. You know, it's leadership and it's finding a way to build really this cohesive locker room. Look, let's be real. The NFL top down is one of the most difficult sports to win in because even if you have positions of great talent, if your team, whether it's your defense, is a big bag of fail, or your offense just rides the suck train down the field, what are you going to do? You can't score enough, can't stop anybody, you're inconsistent, you turn the ball over, you have these problems. Well, you need to find a way to maximize talent. North Turner, to me, was a guy that if he inherited a decent setup, he could run the show, but he couldn't build the show. Now, Schottenheimer couldn't finish, but he could build the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I really believe they were hoping that North Turner coming in would be able to help Rivers take the next step, but it didn't happen. I still think Marty got wronged, man.
Oh, he absolutely got wronged. And I think all of us were amazed that North Turner stayed around as long as he did. Didn't make a lot of sense. Fun side note, I think you've met my dad. My dad looks a lot like North Turner, so that's always funny for us. But how North Turner kept his job there for as long as he did, I don't know
how North Turner's kept a lot of jobs as long as he did. And by the way, it was Sean Merriman.
Merriman.
You know, I don't know why that name. You know, I don't know, Roid Rage or something. It just fell out of my left ear hole. I have no idea. But anyway, North Turner is one of those guys. I just don't understand when you talk about leadership qualities. And I'm not a North hater. I'm really not a North hater, but I just don't want to see him as a head coach.
Sure.
Anywhere. Maybe he has some success in Cleveland, but he's not the head coach.
Right.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. As far as San Diego, we'll kind of see how that plays out. I'm not – Phillip Rivers is an interesting guy to me. I know you're not really a Rivers fan. And you're a Giants fan, so this is always kind of an interesting setup for me. Can you imagine Phillip Rivers with the Giants?
No.
How big of a meltdown would Rivers have been in New York City?
They would have eaten him alive.
Now, Eli gets a whole raft of business from people unnecessarily. And look, I'm not saying I love Eli Manning. He's a very good quarterback, though. And I think you can make a very credible, when people like to say this whole, is Eli elite? Look, he's got two Super Bowl rings.
Right.
When you have multiples, when anybody asks that question, you just got to flash the hardware.
Yep.
And look, I understand he didn't win it alone. But he was involved in some of the most clutch plays in Super Bowl history. I mean, they're iconic. Those two Super Bowls with the New England Patriots are all-time classic Super Bowls for different reasons, but they're classics.
He's clutch. He's the fourth quarter master.
Yeah. Not so much last year.
Fine.
But his track record is safe. I think you can make a very decent argument about Eli as an elite quarterback consistently, plus he has hardware to back it up. When you don't have hardware, if you only get one, I mean, Trent Dilfer got one. He was not an elite quarterback. But he had an elite defense.
Right.
Right. That's that old team environment again. But Eli has done enough, and by the time, Lord knows, by the time he retires, what his stat line is going to be is going to be plenty productive. He's also gone through a lot of, and people forget, you know, since we're going to talk about Eli, think about the consistency that somebody like Peyton has in Indianapolis. How long did he have Marvin Harrison, you know, and some of the other guys that were there? You had stability. How many people have the Giants, when you look at their wide receiver core since Eli's been there, what has their turnover been with running backs, their offensive line, wide receivers? I mean, you could probably list off a laundry list of wide receivers that have been good under Eli. Well, when you talk about elite quarterbacks, one of the things that they do is they elevate the play of the players around them. Okay, Tom Brady, even if you don't like the Patriots, historically, it's hard not to look at that guy and say, you know what? Well, one of the reasons that he is an elite quarterback is because he has consistently found a way to win. You can give credit or hate to Bill Belichick. I will listen to both sides of that one. But he's won in the league consistently, and he's done it with different degrees of talent. You can only play with whoever's on the field with you. But you know that you have a good quarterback when you can consistently win. No matter the personnel turnover, you know when you have a player, whether it's a running back or a quarterback or a defensive player, that elevates the play of their teams around them. And again, when we talk about progression, when we talked about Kaepernick earlier, that's what I want to see out of a guy like him. That's what I want to see out of a guy like Cam Newton. Take the next step as a leader, as a quarterback for your team. Own that identity. And be the man, be the leader, be the quarterback that your team needs. Now, I think the sports crew is going to have a little fun. We got Aaron popping in up in here. Let's see if this is E. Let's see what Aaron has to say. Aaron, you there, buddy?
What up?
Hey, what's going on, friend?
This is E.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate the shout out on the Cubs futility first of all. Thank you very much.
Oh, you like that? Yeah, we're glad to throw that out there for you. Come on, man. If the British Wimbledon streak can end, aren't the Cubs due?
They are due, but only when Wrigley gets torn down. That's the only. Everybody hates on me for saying that, being a Cubs fan, but watch. When that goes down, then for some reason we'll win, because we'll actually be able to get a big-name person there, because we'll have facilities that they'll actually want to come to, because that place, you can't get a big name there. I mean, the bathrooms don't even work in half of the
world. not a good sign.
I wouldn't want to be there either, but no.
You shouldn't say that as a Cubs fan. That's terrible.
As a player, no. I'll probably be a crucified, but nonetheless. But so, no, a couple things you're talking with.
Yeah.
Kaepernick, first of all, I think that'll just depend on his team's reaction. They're a pretty professional team. I don't think they'll let it get to them. But nonetheless, why do you need that extra baggage?
That's right.
You're going into a season probably as a favorite. I think they're probably all around the best team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Why do you even want to deal with it? One quick point. It's Daryl Richardson, Isaiah Pete, I believe, are the guys contending for the Rams running back position.
There you go. We like a little fill-in. Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah. And when it comes to the, you said, toughest division, NFC West, I think they're pretty tough. I don't know, for some reason, I may have to go with the NFC South, just with all the weapons they have with Sean Payton coming back.
That's
you
true.
You got Freeman coming off of a good year.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you're going to get out of Cam. And then, obviously, Atlanta is just loaded.
Well, see, I guess here's the thing I would say to you. I think the NFC West is far more complete. Now, we don't know about Arizona. Okay, we don't know. Now, they had a good defense last year. Their offensive line and offense was atrocious for different reasons. But when I look at the NFC West, much like we talk about San Francisco, I see more complete teams, but I see strong defensive teams. When I look at the NFC South, what I see is more offensive teams. And when you get late in the year, my tendency is a little bit to favor those really strong, hard-nosed defensive teams. But you're right, that's a great point. The NFC South is
divisions.
Yeah, the NFC South is going to be very interesting.
I was thinking up and down the whole division.
Yeah.
I guess I'd take Carolina and maybe Tampa over Arizona and St. Louis right now.
I'd agree with that.
At the top, I would probably give the NFC West. But I got a point. How about this? I think, though, when it just comes to toughest divisions, I think all four of the NFC divisions are tougher than all four of the AFC divisions this year. I was wanting to see what you thought about that.
You know what? I want to be a buyer. I want to be a buyer of that. AFC East has a lot of holes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't quite know what you're going to get out of. I mean, let's be real. Mark Sanchez, is he going to be pulling his pants down? Is he going to be playing quarterback? What's he going to be doing? Is he going to be starring in YouTube videos? I have no idea.
I think you know me. The crowning jewel of the AFC, the Patriots. What in the world can you expect out of them?
I don't know. I mean, the change of Welker, all the issues with obviously Hernandez off the roster, Gronkowski's injury issues. How do they respond? We just spent a little time talking about Tom Brady being an elite quarterback, elevating. Well, he's going to really have to elevate that offense.
This is in the top five receivers from last year.
Yeah,
so.
A lot of people gone. The Dolphins are kind of interesting. It's funny that Kaepernick was rocking a Dolphins hat. I like some of the pieces they have in place. But, no, I think that's a really good point. And if you talk about the NFC East, Dallas, they're inconsistent. But Dallas is an interesting team to me because when they play well, they can play with just about anybody. They have a tendency to shoot themselves in the foot. And I know they have some weaknesses on the roster. I understand that. And even though I'm a Redskins fan, I'm not a complete Tony Romo hater. I just think you can't consistently put the game on the line in his hands.
No.
He has this weird Brett Favre-ian kind of thing that he does sometimes. And, Favre's one of my favorite players, but he had a tendency to give games away.
Sure.
So, we'd have to flesh that one out. But, I kind of like that thought. And I tell you what, E, I'm going to be a buyer. I'm going to be a buyer that if you gave me all four NFC divisions, I'm going to take all four NFC divisions over the AFCs. I'm going to do it.
That's a very good question. And I got to say, I would do the same. I think that's,
We didn't even talk about Green Bay, Chicago,
right.
Minnesota.
It's a lot of
we did just throw Detroit under the bus.
We did.
But
that's one team.
speaking of that, you ready for this Redskins-Bears game, buddy?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was thinking about both you guys with the Redskins and the Giants kind of figure out. I don't think you guys have too much in common as a team. I think the only thing you guys don't have in common this year is you'll both get beaten by the Bears.
Oh, how about that? Look at that. He's bringing it strong. I tell you what, why don't you go back to Wrigley Field, buddy?
Well, we got to get something. We got to get some Chicago sports championships since we know we ain't going to get any baseball.
Yeah, maybe so. All right, man. Well, I appreciate the call in, buddy. That's a great thought. You know what? I'm on point with you. I like that. I like that storyline, man. I like
me
it.
As well.
All right. I'll tell you what. Nice little call from E. Wrap up that segment. We're going to go ahead and take our last break of the night. I'm out of Slim Jims. I'm out of Kit Kats. I guess I'm just on bottled water, but that's okay. It's a start. Anyway, we'll catch you on the flip side.
Sometimes when you compare prices on products, you think to yourself, what difference does it make? The rates are all about the same anyway. But sometimes the rates are very different. Let me give you an example where there's a huge difference in pricing between companies. Vehicle protection plans. Look, if your car is 4 years or older, having a vehicle protection plan is a no-brainer. The trick is not to overpay for it. Here are the facts. The average price of a vehicle protection plan is $2,800, while the price of a Toco warranty vehicle protection plan for most vehicles is just $1,500. The average down payment on a vehicle protection plan is $299. With Toco warranty, there's no down payment. The average monthly payment on a vehicle protection plan is more than $160 a month. With Toco, the average monthly payment is just $49. To get a highly rated vehicle protection plan at a great low rate, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-269-3500. That's 1-800-269-3500. Terms and conditions apply.
iHeartRadio presents the Muse Top 10.
Number 10.
Panic Station.
Panic Station. Number 9.
Madness.
Is it just madness keeping us afloat?
Number 8.
Hysteria.
Number 7.
Resistance.
Love is our resistance. Keep us apart and they won't stop breaking us down.
Number 6.
Time is running out.
Five.
Knights of Sidonia.
Number 4.
Undisclosed Desires.
Undisclosed desires in your heart.
Number 3.
Starlight.
Number 2.
Supermassive Black Hole.
Number 1.
Uprising.
We will be victorious.
Hear more of Muse right now on iHeartRadio at keyword Muse.
Classic Cuts.
Sometimes have to polish songs before they're ready to be recorded. Bruce Springsteen acknowledges how much work went into the lyrics of Born to Run. The proof is on paper.
The music was composed very meticulously, so were the words. The amount of time spent honing the lyrics was enormous. The notebook that I wrote Born to Run in, you know, you would take the first page and you would see a line or two. 50 pages later, you know, you'd get something close to the finished song. I think it was this thick with different versions, and I wrote and I rewrote it and I rewrote it and I rewrote it.
XL 102, Richmond's Rock Station. There's only one XL 102.
Let's get back to Walk-On Week 2013 on Richmond Sports Station, Sports Radio 910. Here's the captain with the sports brew.
Oh, back on the flip side of that break. That's right. We're going to snap out a few more Boom Shakalakas, man, before we have to bust out of this piece. Now, guess what?
What?
We have Matt. We were talking about the fantasy Failhorn earlier.
Oh, yeah?
And guess who is actually calling in? That is right. It is Matt the Fantasy Failhorn.
What's up, gentlemen?
Oh, how are you doing this fine evening, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. I know this one team that's going to beat Chicago, Washington, and the Giants this year.
Let me guess. That would be the one and only Green Bay Packers.
Well, if we could have a running game.
Now come the caveats. If we have a running game, if our defense plays better. Look, I tell you what. Actually, I'm going to ask you, since you're the fantasy Failhorn, I'm going to ask you this. As we get to the grind of this offseason, we're looking forward to the beginning of the NFL. You know, we're getting ready to enter primetime fantasy planning.
Yes, sir.
Primetime NFL fantasy football planning. Give me a couple of players that you think are going to be overdrafted, and why, and give me a couple. And we'll see what you say. Maybe just one. Give me one. Give me one person you think is going to be underdrafted. One person you think will be over and under. Give it to me. What you got, Fantasy Failhorn?
The one guy I got being overdrafted this year is going to be Adrian Peterson.
Why do you say that?
Number one, I say that because I think they're going to let Christian Ponder throw the ball a little bit more this year. He's still going to get his numbers and everything.
Have you seen Ponder throw the ball?
Sir?
Have you seen Ponder throw the ball?
I know, but they brought in the kid from KC, too. He can actually throw the ball. He just didn't have anybody to throw to in Kansas City. But I do think AP's being a little bit overdrafted. I wouldn't go with him at number two.
Okay.
I still think Foster's a safer number two than Peterson going into next year.
That's interesting.
And the one guy I got being underdrafted this year, and I've seen in a couple mock drafts, I am seeing, and I'm guessing might be a little bit of a homer pick, Randall Cobb going in the fourth round
in mock drafts. I will tell you, I disagree with you about Peterson, because Peterson to me is the cowbell for that team. He is the workhorse. He is the guy they have to lean on. Ponder, I think, can be a solid game manager. When you look at the analytics and the metrics on that guy, his intermediate and deep passes are terrible. Now, there's going to be more reasons for that, and if we're going to talk about progression of a player, we have to give Ponder a tip of the cap and say, he's got the ability to improve. But at this point, from what I've seen, I don't trust that. I do trust Adrian Peterson. And I personally would rather have AP than Arian Foster. There's a reason for that. I'm not anti-Foster, is a phenomenal running back. But I'm starting to wonder if you can trust him game in and game out, whether it's carries or injuries or some other things. Now, Randall Cobb, I will tell you, I love, 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 love Randall Cobb.
I do too.
You think about some of the players that left Green Bay. Yeah, we're talking about Minnesota, right? Greg Jennings, go fitting. Where Green Bay Packers go to die in their careers, I suppose, with the Vikings. That's cold, isn't it? That's terrible.
Hey!
What? Yeah, well, that's okay. But Randall Cobb, I think, is going to have so much opportunity in Green Bay to be a playmaker, a guy. And we were talking about Tavon Austin, getting him in space, getting him the ball. Cobb is so flexible. There's so much utility.
I've said it so many times. You can put him anywhere on the field.
Right.
You can put him in a halfback. You can put him in wide out. You can do so many different things with him. I absolutely agree.
Love.
And you can do the same thing with Tavon Austin. A lot of people don't agree.
Tavon Austin has to prove it at the NFL level. Yeah. I mean, that's the caveat there. I think he's a nice pickup when you look at the matchups and the opportunity. But Cobb has proven that a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
He's only going to get better.
Yeah, I really like Cobb, especially in a pass-heavy offense, which the Packers are going to be. I would love to see them flesh out and develop a stronger running game. I think they need to do that, particularly take some heat off that defense. But we'll kind of see how that works out. So I'm with you on Cobb. I got to throw you under the bus on Peterson, though.
Yeah, I still say he rushes for maybe probably about 1,500 yards, but I don't think he touches 2,000 ever again.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a tall order, man.
Sure.
I mean, I don't think he's going to go a la Chris Johnson, though.
No.
No, that's like Magic Man, you know what I mean? Here I am, gone, shake and bake, whatever.
That is another kid you might want to look out for next year, is Chris Johnson, bouncing back this year.
Oh, no, sir, I am not. There is no fantasy league unless he is way late that I am touching Chris Johnson. It is just not happening.
See, we ramp that line.
yeah, we'll see. All right, dude, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks for busting in with the Sports Brew. That's right,
right,
Sports Radio 910, man.
Night.
I love that. Thank you.
Thank you, Failhorn.
That's right, Fantasy Failhorn. Come on. I don't want to touch AP. Get out of here. If I could have Failhorn him right there, I would have done it. No, that was great. I always like to, Matt's one of those guys, we've played in fantasy leagues forever, and there's a reason we call him a Fantasy Failhorn, but he's good to talk about with fantasy. We all have that. Our friends that we like to talk about fantasy football with, they're always fun arguments. I'll trade you this. I got this team as my keeper, blah, blah, blah. I love fantasy football, man.
And we all say he's a sharp fantasy mind. That's his passion. That's why he's the Fantasy Failhorn, and he certainly knows plenty of his stuff. But we all tease him, myself especially, because he loves to trade away his entire team.
He does love to trade away his entire
team. That's his thing. People have their thing, and that's his thing.
I think he would trade it away for a bag of Fritos if he was in, last place in the league.
He probably would.
It could happen. All right, well, I guess we need to start tying up a couple of loose ends here. So
Speed round.
Yeah, this will be the speed round. I'm just going to throw this out because I think this is kind of a fun end of, I was going to say podcast, but it's not the podcast. Although, my wife is recording this at home, right? So that's kind of fun. But think of your team, and if your franchise running back, let's say it's Adrian Peterson, and I'm a Redskins fan, let's say RG3, if your star franchise player walked away, went like Jim Brown and walked away, retired from the game, went like Barry Sanders, he was done, walked away. If you had the power and you could pick one player, who would you pick? to replace them. Roger Goodell gives you the power to take that player off another team. No compensation, that doesn't matter. Who would you take?
You first.
Me first? If RG3 walked away tomorrow, I would take Andrew Luck. Because I'd like him with Shanahan. He's big. I like his attitude. I would go Andrew, because he's got so much in front of him. He's a little bit goofy, sure. But I'm a little bit goofy, so I don't mind that so much.
I like Luck a lot.
All right. Who would you take?
I think if Eli walked away, I'd have to go with Rodgers.
You take Rodgers?
I like him a lot. I still think he's young enough, has plenty left in the tank.
I thought you were going to take RG3, dude. I know you're a closet Redskin fan.
He'd be a close second.
I've got pictures where you had a Redskins blanket on you. Granted, that was after a sports brew nightcap. You're probably asleep.
Yes, it was.
All right. Well, look, everybody, it's been an absolute blast. And, of course, you are listening to Richmond Sports Station. That is right, Sports Radio 910. I am the captain. I have been joined this fine evening by my man, Mark D. Thomas. That is right. He is also known as D-Stat. I want to give a little quick thanks to my friend Shannon McGuffin down in the Outer Banks. That's right. He is known as the Twitter Terminator. And you can find us. He actually threw that little, Sean Merriman thing at me because I couldn't remember his name, so he sent me a little message real quick. But look, I tell you what, if you've enjoyed tonight, if you've enjoyed the Sports Brew, we have a whole bunch of little shenanigans and antics up our sleeves. You can find us on Facebook. That's going to be facebook.com/sportsbrew. You can also find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Lo and behold, keywords, Sports Brew. And of course, on Twitter, that's going to be @VASportsBrew. Look, just Google Sports Brew, man. You're going to find us.
We're there.
D-Stat, my man.
It's been beautiful.
This has been great.
This is fun.
And a big thanks to Jonathan for running the boards and hanging out with us and putting up with us.
I love the Twitter Terminator. It's been fun.
Good night, y'all. Catch you on the flip side, and peace out.
Thanks, everybody.
Your home for Dan Patrick. Sports Radio 910 WRNL AM
Richmond, Virginia.
And broadcasting in HD radio and online at sportsradio910.com.
Fox Sports trending now.
Manny Ramirez is 1-for-3 so far at AAA Round Rock. They're in the sixth inning of their game as he starts a minor league stint in the Rangers organization. In the American League, the Angels have 2 solo homers against John Lackey. Halos over Boston 2-0 in the bottom of the sixth. Earlier, Baltimore 2-1 winners over the Yankees in New York. Adam Jones, a 2-run homer in the top of the ninth off Mariano Rivera. That ends the Yankees' 6-game winning streak. The win to reliever Darren O'Day. He's 5-0 and save number 30 to Jim Johnson. Cleveland, with 3 runs bottom of the 8th, beat Detroit 9-6 despite a 4-for-4 day from Miguel Cabrera. He hit his 28th homer. Complete game at Tampa Bay for David Price. 3-1 Rays over the White Sox. Texas and Oakland got wins. Toronto and Seattle as well. The Dodgers scored 3 in the 9th to win at San Francisco. Arizona won its 5th straight. Cubs won in 11. Andy Murray took Wimbledon. I'm Steve DeSager.
Fox Sports 1.
Let's get it started.
August 17th. America's new sports network.
There goes the music. You know what that means, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to the Mike North Show.
Mike North, you're fired. Nobody
gets out alive. It's Mike North.
What does he do? He's a talk show guy?
Once in a while, you're going to make a mistake. But a 50% free throw shooter, for instance, should be high five.
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Radio in Chicago.
Welcome, everybody, to the Mike North Show.
It's Mike North.
I love this song. Hey, hey, you get off of my-